thinking about what you're thinking about. Meditation, thinking about what you are thinking about. Now, I want to suggest to you that there are most of our thoughts go on without any consideration of what we are thinking about. Just say amen whenever you can, okay? Whenever you can. At any given moment, during any given day, we are constantly thinking. Thinking. We are thinking. Thinking. In any given moment. And most, if not all, of our thoughts go through our minds with little or no consideration of what we're thinking, or more importantly, how we're thinking. There's very little consideration that we give to the thoughts that are going through our minds. They just randomly go through, and most of them, by the way, go through on a subconscious or without us being aware, and they're going through all the time, and because we have habitually learned how to think a certain way, we've learned how to respond to life a certain way, then we give little thought to whether or not our thinking is healthy or unhealthy. Our thinking is spiritual or unspiritual. Our thinking is holy as God would have it to be, or carnal as the devil would want us and love us to be. So the command for us to bring every thought into captivity. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. We spent a lot of time over there the last few weeks. And that we have the ability to bring down the strongholds. And every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And to bring those thoughts into captivity. So the command to bring every thought into captivity is nearly impossible if we have little or no conscious awareness of what we are thinking or how we're thinking. You got to be aware. If you are not paying attention to what you are thinking, then I promise you a lot of your thinking is not good. Because you ain't paying attention. You have to be able, and by the way, you need to understand that God has given us the ability and capacity to bring our thoughts into captivity, to bring the way we think into submission to his will. We have the ability to do so, and failure to do so means, number one, either we are not trying or we don't know how. And I think the latter has a lot to do. We've just never been taught. We've just never been taught this. And so toxic thinking is responsible for most, if not all, of the mental anguish we're experiencing in our lives. Our toxic thinking. The way we think is responsible for most, if not all, of the trials that we are facing in our lives. It's toxic. And the fact that we don't know how or that it's possible to renew our minds means that we live in toxicity. We stay in toxicity. It is how we exist. And we don't even question whether or not we have any option in the toxicity. We just stay in toxic thinking and think that's normal. It's normal. Toxic thinking. Why don't they like me? like me. And why don't they? I'm a good person. They don't like me. Why don't they like me? And we spend all of this time and energy wondering why people don't like us. And that creates a norm in our brain pattern to where we start expecting folk not to like us. And we draw those experiences right on into our lives because of the way we are thinking. They not talking about, they talking about me. Everywhere I look, they look at me and look off, so they got to be talking about me. They got to be saying something about me. I walk up and the conversation ends. They got to be saying something about me. I don't feel comfortable coming into a group of people at the church because they don't like me and they're always saying something about me. They are judging me. They're looking at me, and that experience, the way they look at me, says that they don't like me and they're talking about me. And that permeates your thinking. And it's toxic. They don't care about me. They don't care about me. There are a host of people who have concluded that there's absolutely nobody who cares anything about them because of what you're going on in your circumstance. And you feel like, by the way, since I'm going through this in my circumstance, if they care, they do something. And a lot of times, folk don't even know. Because we are not honest enough to tell people what's really going on in our lives. Because of our pride. And then we judge everybody because nobody rescued you. Toxic. It's toxic. And it's killing us. I think they out to get me. I think they out to get me. And by the way, this feeling is more prevalent the closer you are to people. You experience this in your family system. My siblings out to get me. My close relative, they out to get me. You feel it the closer you get to the network of people that if this not going the way you think it ought to go, that somehow or another there is some ulterior motive that is operating in the minds of people with their hearts set against you. Am I helping anybody? And we wear these thoughts and we meditate. By the way, we meditate, we play them over and over and over and over until it becomes the belief system that we operate from. And since we're operating from a belief system that is totally toxic, then what can we have in our life except toxicity? What can we expect in our life except toxicity? How can we bring anything else in our life when all of our life we spend on nothing but negative, poisonous thinking? And so when your thinking is toxic, your imagination is toxic. See, when your thinking is toxic, your imagination is toxic. There are folk in relationship who think that their spouse, for some reason, doesn't really love them and is looking for a way out. So when your thinking is toxic, your imagination is toxic. And so anytime your spouse says anything about anybody other than them, you conclude, aha, that's what I knew. I knew they wanted somebody. I knew they was into somebody else. But it's just your imagination is toxic. You're blaming, you're looking for stuff. You're going through the phone. There's got to be some proof here because I know what I'm thinking. And when you can't find some, you make some up. Because in your mind, you can imagine it. And just like your imagination seems real, it will feel real to you. Because you have a toxic thought process, so your imagination is toxic. And when your imagination is toxic, by the way, to you. And I need to pause here just a moment. See, toxic thinking impacts you more than it impacts anybody else. You are hurting you more than you are hurting. Now, other folk are being impacted, mind you, by your toxic thinking, but the worst damage is happening in you. You will never be all that God intended for you to be. You will never accomplish what God gave you the ability to accomplish. You will never become all God intended for you to become because you don't know how to think. So when your imagination is toxic to you and you are unable to analyze what and how you are thinking. See, when you lose the capacity to be able to critique your thoughts, you got to be able to critique you. If you don't critique you, who will? Who can? Because we wear this mask and we give this illusion to everybody that we're around, we got it together. And we'll fight you if you have a question about it. I don't know what you're talking about. What you mean? I need help. You need help. I don't need no help. I'm good. What do you mean you need? Who you talking to? I've been the way I am all my life. I'm healthy. I don't know what you're talking about. Fight you. If you suggest to somebody that you may need to talk to somebody to get a better perspective. Let me deviate just a minute. There is more mental illness in the church than anywhere else. Because we are a whosoever will, let them come. And the thinking is, when I obey the gospel, that somehow or another, God makes me whole in my thinking. No. God gives you help to get your thinking right. But you have to work with him. And if you don't work with him, then there's nothing he can do because you have not applied the principles that he has put forth to change or renew your mind. So how are you going to renew it? You're not doing anything to help it be renewed. And so when your imagination is toxic to you and you're unable to analyze what or how you are thinking versus allowing your thoughts to go unchecked, then your thought life and you are totally out of control. Totally out of control. And we become dangerous to ourselves. We become injurious to ourselves because nobody on the outside has to do anything to bring harm to us. We're doing a great job of it on our own. We don't need assistance from the outside. It's what we are doing to ourselves that is killing us. It's destroying all of our hope. It's taking all of our joy. If you don't have hope, then there's no motivation to go through the storms that you're going through because you can't see anything on the other side of the storm other than more storm. So then you give up and you start throwing up your hands and say, what's the use? Because you can't see beyond this. And you can't see beyond this because there's no way for you even conceive or consider in your mind that there is a possibility of a different outcome for me if I just stay the course. But you can't see that because your thinking won't allow you to consider that as a remote possibility. So you're stuck. And you feel stuck. And you know the worst part about it in this is you come around people that are worshiping and it just look like they got it together and it just makes you feel worse because you don't feel any better even after you go through the worship. Help me somebody. And then with all the noise and the busyness that we have in our lives, we have so much going on. We don't feel whole unless we're doing something. We don't feel whole. You go into our homes, you got the TV blasting, the stereo blasting, you are watching a show and watching your phone at the same time. At the same time. Trying to have conversation with somebody with all that noise going on. Is there any wonder we don't know how to think? Because we are totally distracted all the time from any possibility of reflecting on our thinking. There's no time to reflect on anything because we are constantly bringing in new stuff. There are some folk that live on Facebook. And they got to hear what the next thing is said. They live on YouTube. They got to see what's the latest. And so all day long, they're encumbered with, girl, did you see? Girl, did you hear? And all they're doing is taking in. And there is absolutely no time for them to reflect on anything having to do with their thinking. We are just on automatic pilot, zooming through our day and get to the end of it feeling like, I ain't done nothing today. It's just like yesterday. And that's my life. There's no time to hear ourselves think. You know, I used to say, oh, you make so much noise, there's so much going on, I can't even hear myself think. Have you ever heard that? I can't even hear myself think. Well, our lives are so crowded that we can't hear what we are thinking. We're too busy thinking about the next thing. Too busy mulling over the next thing. Too busy taking in information. Too busy considering that we don't have time to even listen to what's going on in our head. Everybody with me? It is through the discipline of meditation, the discipline, that we learn how to hear what we're thinking. Challenge our thinking. Do you know there are times when you got to challenge what's going on in your head? But if you don't think about what you're thinking, there is no challenge. You know you can set yourself on a course to where you know what you're doing is wrong, but you don't know how to challenge your thinking, so you find yourself on automatic pilot thinking about and doing the wrong thing because there is no challenge to you. You have to challenge your thinking. There are some feelings and thoughts that are coming to your mind that you know are contributing to the will of God, but nobody challenges them. They go unchecked. You never bring them into captivity. So you have to, through the discipline of meditation, you got to learn how to challenge that. Say, oh, wait a minute. No, I need to get rid of that thought. See, I have to get rid. See, can't nobody get rid of your toxicity and your thinking but you. There is no surgery that can be performed externally on you to get rid of your toxic thinking. It is a surgery that has to take place, and you hold the scalpel. You have to cut it away. And you got to know what you're cutting needs to be cut. And if you can't tell when it's time to cut the cancerous thinking that you have in your heart, then you have malignancy in your mind and in your thinking, and it's going to take you out. Am I helping anybody? You see, you gotta learn how to hear what you're thinking, challenge it, particularly when it conflicts with God's word. Wait a minute. See, let me suggest to you that there's a lot of things we think about that are totally contradictory of what God says. And it meets no challenge from us. Either we don't believe what he says, or we don't believe our capacity to do what he says, because we're not challenging it. We are accepting the fact that there's thinking in our lives that we know contradicts his word. And yet we sit idly by and just let it go on. We're hoping we hear a sermon that maybe convicts us and makes it come out, but you know, I don't care how hard we preach. Ultimately, there's something you have to do. It cannot be done for you. It can't be done by anybody but you. You got to know how to challenge the thoughts that conflict with the word and any thoughts that we have that are abandoning the idea of faith. Without faith, it is impossible for anybody to please him. Okay? With our ability to learn how to govern our thinking and then our living based on faith, first our thinking, then it is impossible for us to please him. I don't want it said about my life that I lived and died and never pleased God, because I never learned how to operate by faith. And the operation of faith in your life demands the discipline of challenging your thinking. And every thought that is contrary to faith has to be dealt with by you. And if you don't deal with it, then you are operating faithless. But you come into church every week, but you ain't got no faith. I know that ain't good English, but you don't have any faith because of your thinking, your thoughts, and what comes out of your mouth says, I have no faith. And so, meditation, learning how, for a long time, meditation was a bad word in the Church of Christ, because it was considered from a standpoint of a clearing of your mind. No, it's not an emptying of your mind. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about an intentional, deliberate focus in your mind where you are in complete control of your mind and you're very intentional and deliberate in your mind. Not this, just open up your mind and whatever happens. That ain't meditation. That's foolishness. You don't open up your mind and see what pops in. Clear your mind and hope right comes. No. That's foolishness. Okay, that's foolishness. You see, our relationship with God depends on meditation. Without us learning how to meditate, most of my day is spent in meditation. I am constantly thinking about his word. I don't care what I'm doing. I am constantly seeking and mulling over his word. It's a communion. It's intentional. You cannot develop a close relationship with somebody you don't know. And how you gonna know him unless you know his voice? And we sing a song, and he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me that I'm his own. When? As I walk through the day, he does it. Okay, let me give you some scripture now. I know y'all wondering, do I have any Bible? I got some Bible. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. I want us to start here. This is after Moses has died. And God is encouraging Joshua, who is dubbed the next leader. He says, by the King James, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Wait a minute. Don't ever stop talking about the word. You can't talk about it without thinking about it. The reason we don't talk about it enough is that we don't think about it enough. So he's telling the manservant, and let me say to anybody who wants to be significant in the kingdom of God, never, never stop talking about the word. Don't let it depart out of your mouth. In other words, everything that is shaped by your voice ought to be filtered by what thus saith the Lord. If you can say something that is not filtered by what says God, then that means that his word has departed out of your mind when it comes to your thinking in this moment. You are now operating out of your carnality and not out of your spirituality. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Day and night. You ought to be meditating on his word. Listen, he says, that thou mayest observe to do. Wait a minute. The reason why we're not able to do what God expects us to do is because we don't think about doing it like God says it ought to be done continuously. And when you are in the moment, you can't call on something you don't know. That's why doctor sets you on the table and he has you cross your legs and he hits you with an instrument and the natural reflex is just your knees to pop up, right? That's a natural reflex. It just happens, right? Well, when you don't have the gods in your life, then what comes out when you are hit with something real quick? If it's not the natural response, you are pulling off of your carnality. Your words portray you. Am I helping anybody? That thou mayest observe to do, watch this, according to all that is written therein. How do you do everything God says we ought to do? How you do that? How you live like that? You got to meditate on what he says. He says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. God will bless you when you commit him to your life. And then thou shalt have good success. Good success. God does stuff for you, don't make no sense. Good success. Look at the same verse from the Message. Just same verse. He's telling you, and don't for a minute let this book of the revelation, the revealing from God, that's what the Bible is. It is the revealing from God. God is being revealed through his word. Don't let this book of revelation of the revelation be out of mind. Ponder on it. Meditate on it. Day and night. Making sure, watch this, you practice everything written in it. Wait. How you gonna practice something that you don't think about? Or it's an afterthought. You know, I shouldn't have said that then. It wasn't a forethought because you don't meditate on it. If you don't meditate on how to have your spirit right at all times, I promise you, you're going to be tried to where when your spirit ain't right, what comes out ain't going to be right. Help me somebody. Now, wait a minute. And I want you to understand something. Now, y'all stay with me. It doesn't mean that people are bad people. That's not what the first, don't conclude that first. What it means is they haven't disciplined themselves as to how to conduct God's image in every area of their life. They're good people. They mean well. They just haven't disciplined themselves. And they haven't disciplined themselves because they haven't made that kind of effort in their thinking. You don't accidentally live by faith. You don't just accidentally walk. You don't walk by faith accidentally. You walk by faith because you have gone over it and over and over and over and over and over. And you have decided that doing it God's way, though I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but I know if I do it like God says, he going to work it out. That takes time for you to understand that. You don't just get that. Then, he says, you're going to get where you're going. And then you'll succeed. Oh, man, my time is running out. Through meditation, you purposefully keep his will and his word on your mind. It's intentional. You keep his will and his word on your mind. Now, let's look at Psalm 1, and I may have to come back to this because my time is running out. Blessed, he says, is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Now, watch this. But his delight is in what? The law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, night and day. Whenever your conscience, you see what God says about this circumstance, and you learn how to see his word in everything that you do. And you challenge every thought you have that's not like that. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now watch this. Meditation serves two purposes. And this is going to be a part B on this. I already know this. This is part A of this lesson, of this series. Meditation serves two purposes. Number one, It allows you to intimately know God's will for us. You meditate on what he says so you intimately know his will for you in every area. And you learn how to take him at what he says. Even the tough stuff. Like loving your enemy. You know he's able to help you with that. Praying for those that do you wrong and not wishing harm come to them. Help me, somebody. It allows you to intimately know God's will. And you cannot know God's will intimately by just reading the word without meditating on what is said. I meditate on concepts. Generally, it's concepts that I meditate on. Now, I meditate a lot on how God has gifted us with the ability to control our minds. Amen. And bring every thought into captivity. And I spend an awful lot of time taking myself back through that and challenging me when I deviate in my thinking. Oh, no. God said you can't. So I abandon that thought. No. I challenge that. And see, if you're not doing that constantly, you're just allowing it to filter through, in and out, and you don't say, hold up. I ain't thinking like that no more. That is contrary to the will of God. See, if you don't do that, who will? Then secondly, it allows you to know how to apply God's will to your circumstances. God's word speaks to every situation and every circumstance. So you know, as Paul says, how thou oughtst to behave yourself in the house of God. How you gonna know how to behave yourself if you don't know how to apply to what you're going through what he said? If you can't apply it, you don't know it. Or you know it and don't trust it. Then that means you don't have faith. And without faith, it is what? Impossible. So it allows you to know how to apply God's will to your circumstances. Psalm 77. Man. Okay. I need you to turn over there. Psalm 77. Real quick. Because I want to make a point. I'm going to start here next week. Listen to this Psalm of Asaph. He says, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. Now listen. Now he's pouring out his spirit. In other words, he's having a rough moment in his thinking. Anybody ever had a rough moment in your thinking? Well, you ain't alone. It happens to everybody, but you got to know how to come out of that. He says, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah, thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I've considered the days of old. The years of ancient times looked like everything in the good old days worked well. Everything back then was good. That we was doing well. The church was doing well. Everybody was faring well. The good old days. I remember those days, how you brought us out of judgment. He says, I remember the good old days. I consider the days of old, verse 5, and the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. Watch this, verse 6. I commune with mine own heart. Don't run over that. Communing with your heart is the process of thinking about what you're thinking about. I'm thinking about my thinking. Everybody with me? Everybody see that? Thinking about, it says, I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Now watch this, verse 7. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Will God ever bless me again? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Has God run out of mercy? That's what he's asking. Doth his promise fail forevermore? Has God's word ceased to work? That's what he's saying. Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has God given up on giving grace? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? And I said, verse 10, this is my infirmity. Wait a minute. I am doing this to me. My thoughts are making this situation as it is. He says, I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High God. Let me get my thinking right. Let me start looking at this the right way. I will, verse 11, remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings, thy ways, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders, and thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee. They were afraid, the depths were also troubled. The clouds poured out water, the skies sent out a sound. Thy arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven, the lightness lighteneth the world. The earth trembleth and shook. Verse 19, thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. If your path is in the sea, in other words, I can't figure out where you go. I can't figure out what you are doing because your ways are too marvelous. Thy ways are not my ways, and thy thoughts are not mine. He says, thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses, and just know that. Now, what is? I'm closing with this. Listen, everybody goes through a period where their thinking is not correct. But if you don't challenge your thinking, nothing gets better. And you have to meditate on his word and what he has done, what he continues to do, so that in your current circumstance, you can see the mighty hand of God at work, even when you don't know how it's going to work. Luke 12, 16. And we'll talk about this another time. He says in Romans 12, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you prove what is the good and the perfect and acceptable will of God. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen. If you're here this morning, and the Spirit of God is convicting you of your life that you need convicting in. It's not my mother, not my father, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not the preacher, not a deacon, but it's me, oh Lord. It's me. It's me, oh Lord. And if you know you need prayer, I pray that you won't talk yourself out of getting what you need spiritually at this time. I pray that you are ready to start a journey of spiritual renewal, that when you finish, you will be transformed. And the way you think and the way you act will not resemble not one little bit how you have thought and how you have acted.